I'm down for whatever.
You are listening to Right Back Atcha, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by his VIP to be the boss, our in-house Roland Stone, ladies and gentlemen, David Lim and me. I'm a dance floor lover and York Amanda's number one fan, Joel Babington. Hello, Davo. How are you doing?
Commander JB, how's it going? Good to see you.
It is going well. Thank you, gorgeous. Very much looking forward to getting into today's episode, a sort of our podcast version of pre-drinks into kind of our pop moment of the year, really, isn't it?
Mighty Hoopla. We talk about this festival all the time, and I can't believe it. As a Roland Stoner, as you called me, could not be more excited to see Alcalendria headline Mighty Hoopla on the Saturday. So yeah, this is our pre-drinks. This is our little kind of, it's a warm-up.
Unofficial Mighty Hoopla
launch
pre-party. All right, launch party. Let's go big or go home. Now, David, speaking of Mighty Hoopla, I've got some gay panic.
You got some gay panic. What's going on?
I've got some outfits? Gay panic. Oh, don't even get me started on that.
I mean, thought about outfits.
That's the pre-gay panic, which I'll get to once I've sorted out this gay panic. So I'm saying it to alert our listeners, and I am going to send panic across gay pop loving nation. I'm worried, David. David and Lim, I'm worried.
What's going on?
Saturday, 3rd of June, Mighty Hoopla. I am really scared right now that there's going to be a clash of Clea and Rachel Lauren Stevens.
Did they not already post the set times?
They've said Clea are on at 2 in the Candy Crush Arena, brand new this year.
Yes.
But David, they've not said yet the specific time of Rachel Lauren.
Oh my God.
And I'm scared for my life.
I just think we have to be so on it on Saturday. Like, I'm going to really watch my drinking, have lots of water, because I don't want to miss a moment. It's an endurance test. Pacing ourselves. It's going to be so important. This is like the amazing race. This is the race around the world for pop gays, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we accept there are going to be clashes, but I can't have that clash I mentioned.
What's going to happen? Where would you... I mean, you have to think about these things, Joel, if you have to choose.
This is my Sophie's choice, David Lim.
Would you do half and half?
I don't know, because people are saying... Now, we know that Rachel Lauren's doing both days.
Yes.
So everyone's saying, you know, well, you can watch Rachel on the Sunday, but I want to see Rachel on the main stage on Saturday, because she's in the Candy Crush Arena on Sunday. I want to see her in her first big performance. You know, that's the moment.
Yeah. Is Clea not doing both days as well?
No. But then on the other hand, Clea on my girl band, David Lim. like, my email address was clea_joel@hotmail.co.uk.
It's tough.
But my MySpace said Rachel Stevens is a goddess from above, so you know.
It's a very tough time for the JB.
I'm just praying to the pop gods.
Like, please, yeah, for the JB's sake. But yeah, look, we're forming a prayer circle around you. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. I'm going to be there to support you no matter what.
My God, imagine the breakdown I'll have if I miss one of them.
Floods of tears in the middle of Brockwell Park.
I'm coming home! No, I absolutely can't wait. So, David, as we've been, you know, alluding to, and the whole reason why we're doing this episode is Kelly Rowland is headlining Saturday at Mighty Hoopla. Now, as much as Clea and Rachel Lauren on the bill is handpicked for me, it feels like my festival, this headliner feels like it is handpicked for you. You are the international Roland Stone, you know, or Stoner, as I like to call. So speaking of which, David, what would be on your wish list for her set for Hoopla?
I think for a set at Hoopla, she needs to go strong, front heavy with the dance hits. So, Kelly, if you're really stuck with your set list, I'm going to send you a link to my Calendria Dream Roland Spotify playlist. You can take some inspiration from there.
She's going to reply to you, David, and go, David, I've got 7 songs, not 12 hours.
Listen, Kelly, I'm telling you, the first 6 songs need to be Commander, Down for Whatever, When Love Takes Over, What a Feeling, Finally, in brackets, Cannot Hide It.
Bring out M&EK.
Yes, bring out M&EK. And then finally, yeah, song number 6, Work, Freemasons Radio Edit. And if she's got 7 or 8 songs in this set, I'm happy for whatever. I mean,
Ace Down for Whatever.
What would you like to hear?
Now, yes, I think she needs to come out strong, but I also think she needs to embrace her UK success roots of how we on our previous Kelly Rowland episode, we spoke about how successful the first album was over here. You know, her Simply Deep tour basically was a UK tour. I want Stoll. I want Brockwell Park screaming out that Mary's got the same size hands as Marilyn Monroe.
We got to have Dilemma, obviously, the Grammy winning hit.
Of course we've got to have Dilemma. I mean, that will be the big, that was for the straight girlies in the
she
crowd.
She can do a Destiny's Child medley. We've seen a little teaser of it when she was at Sydney World Pride earlier this year. She brought out 2 drag queens that look like Michelle and Bea. Maybe we'll get some UK drag queens.
So I think she should either close or open with Work. I kind of felt open.
Work.
Get the poppers out, yeah. You know, put it in. My housemate's getting new hairdo the other day, and he's coming to Hoopla excited about it. And he was like, I want to do something new with my hair. And I went,
Red Streaks.
You've got to do the Red Streaks. It's the perfect time for it.
It's a Simply Deep choice. You got to do it.
Because, as well, he's one of us. He blasts out your Commander all the time in the shower. So I was like, you got to do the streaks.
Yeah,
you know, I don't have the option, so someone's got to do it. Maybe I'll dye my eyebrows red or something. Anyway, Dovo, where are we? What's going on? Give us a little update.
It's been 3 years since our last Kelly Rowland episode. The first time we did Kelly, we covered her first 2 albums, and that was episode 27. We're now at 75.
Foremost,
thanks, guys, for sticking with us for that long.
Thank you. Like, subscribe, follow us at Right Back Pod. Leave us a lovely 5-star review. Tell your pop-loving friends.
Lovely segue. Well done, JB. After 5 years, we're there. So, further to selling over 60 million records worldwide with Destiny's Child, as a solo star, Kelly Rowland has scored 9 UK top 10 singles, including 2 multi-platinum selling number ones. Today, we're celebrating Kelly's 3rd solo album, Here I Am. Now, this is a really interesting journey over 2 years. So, that's 2010 and 2011. We're seeing an incredible period of growth for our Kelly. It's the beginning of her coming into her own artistry and independence, so to speak. This was her breaking away. You know, she left her previous label, she left her management, Matthew Knowles, and is starting over. And what a strong and interesting era, because our Kelly was basically straddling 2 different genres, international dance pop and the US R&B market. Like, she was doing a Hannah Montana.
It's exhausting. I've just, hats off to Kelly, the output, promoting in different territories. And then at the end of it, a host on the X Factor UK, which for anyone that was around at the time will remember, that takes up your whole life. You can't, it's not a dip in once a week, really. You can't then go off and promote in America or Australia and all this other stuff. You have to be here and dedicated for all that time. So I really don't know how she juggled it all. So thank you, Kelly, for doing that. And thank you for the output.
But this is, as you say, like such a peak moment in Kelly's career. And I feel like us as international fans here in the UK, and I'm from Australia, like we can really appreciate and we know that Kelly's very present. Music is becoming digital first. So how is she navigating releasing in different stuff in different territories when really anything that goes up on the internet, everyone sees it all at the same time? So it's kind of like an interesting period of music as well that we're going back to.
Absolutely. Do you think this is the last time a mainstream pop artist could do select releases? I'm going to release this in this territory. The album's going to come out in this time in this territory.
I think it's shown, especially with the experiment of this rollout, that it's very, very difficult to do that. Like, you have to be quite single visioned with what you're giving your fans, and you got to treat all your fans as that one global community. Mm.
I think it's also quite unique that the press, even that we were sending each other before this, and then I'm sure what we've both seen respectively in our research, is Commander's released here. Like, you know, Rob Copsey, when he's at Digital Spy, is even putting in the press, and they're even making acknowledgement of what's going to be different territory singles. Everyone's covering it and acknowledging it, whether it's for us, whether it's for them.
But I think that was exciting as a member of the fandom at the time. I was kind of like, oh, I wonder what that would sound like. Or, oh, I wonder how that will be received in America, you know? Because I think in Australia, we kind of just got whatever that was on the internet. So yeah. I really look back on this era of Kelly's career with a lot of fondness, because there was just so much out there on the blogosphere every single day, where there was like stuff being leaked, or, you know, she would have said something in interviews, or, you know, posted something on her social media. Like, this was such an exciting time where we're all really quite new in the social media music promotion space. And also, I want to give a shout out. Look, there aren't very many Black female solo artists doing dance pop music, period.
Shockingly.
But we got Kelly at this time really going for it. We also have Winter Gordon, Alexis Jordan, and then a few years later, we have Alexandra Burke's second album, Heartbreak on Hold. But just to kind of contextualize that scene, it makes Kelly's project seem really, really special, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And also, shout out to our episode, Girlies of Booty Love, representing here in the UK.
So listen, we are going to dive straight in. Speaking of dance pop, we're just going to set the scene here before we get into the first single of this album. Back in 2009, obviously, Kelly had her huge global international hit with David Guetta, When Love Takes Over. You know, that song came to Kelly as an instrumental. She heard it at David Guetta's set in the south of France, and then she asked him if she could write on it. Kelly's label wasn't feeling it or getting it at the time.
Didn't like it. Kelly, this isn't you.
So it actually came out as David Guetta featuring Kelly Rowland as a result of that. But guess what? It went on to sell 5.5 million copies, earned 2 Grammy nominations. And then what? You know, now suddenly Kelly's in a great prime position. She's started this movement in a way of like American R&B artists crossing over to making dance music and having really big mainstream pop success with it.
So it's so interesting, even with the huge success of work, that her label is like, that's not you, Kel. Kelly, you're R&B.
But I think that's the thing, you know, you have to really adjust and see what was happening in music. And maybe Columbia didn't have enough foresight or enough faith in Kelly to do that, which is a shame. But also, like, she recognized that this was a big period of change, and she had to part ways with the label, part ways with Matthew Knowles, her longtime manager, and just really start anew. And as a result, we're now seeing Kelly in a very exciting new era of her career. She ended up signing with Universal Motown. She met with the head of the label while she was actually in a studio with David Guetta. So she just instantly felt like, okay, I'm going to be understood at this label. They're not going to try and make me do one genre or the other, and I can embrace both.
What a label to do it on, Motown. You know, the label that was the king label of disco back in the day. And Lindsay Lohan's label.
Oh, was Bossy through Universal Motown?
Oh, Lindsay's music's been through.
Oh, I can hear Bossy on this album.
Oh my God, imagine a dance collab with Calendria and Lindsay.
Bossy 2.0.
That's what we need at Hoopla. The real moment we didn't ever see coming.
Let's have that. I mean, that song was written by Neo, who wrote for Kelly. So I'm sure the hookup was very, very possible.
And I also want to give a shout out, David. Just speaking of the blogosphere of this episode, I feel like this was peak you and your music blog, right? So much so that even I came across it in some of the research, and I'm like, there it is.
Oh God,
there
really?
It is.
Oh no, don't read anything. Don't worry,
I'm not. And you're up and you're kind of saying 10 years earlier what I'm thinking now in 2023, so.
You're welcome. Did the research for you there.
So shall we go to May 2010? When music was changed forever, when Kelly releases Commander.
I feel like the DJ is my bodyguard. You see the way he keeps me safe with the treble in the bass. I feel free enough to party hard. This stress won't go to waste. Feels like I own the place, yeah. VIP to be the boss. You see the way these people.
She was featuring on David's record, and now David's featuring on hers. At the start of every performance, you'll be like, this is produced by David Guetta. Like, it's a flex. Like, you want to let the kids know.
Absolutely, it's a flex. And I feel like the muse, I mean, Kelly knows that. But I also love that she's giving a shout out to the producer.
So here we are, quite a different dance track energy comparing the two of them. This one is, I mean, I still get super excited whenever I hear this song. Like, this is possibly one of my favorite Kelly songs of all time. It's relentless from the opening beat. Like, that is your cue to get on the dance floor.
Where Love Takes Over is like summer beach holiday. This is like sweaty dance floor in the club. Yeah, it's heavy, you know, in the best possible way.
So, JB, do you remember the first time you heard Commander? And what was the feeling? What was the atmosphere? Where were you?
The first time I heard Commander was actually at college, throwback, and guest choreographer Aaron Renfrey was in the house.
Okay, come on, S Club Juniors.
And he was choreographing a dance to Kelly's Commander.
Oh my God.
And that was the first time I ever heard it. And I absolutely loved it. We did this really slick, sexy dance to it, and I was sold.
You, Aaron Renfrey, just throwing shapes to our Kelly's song. I was like, wow. Not everybody has that experience.
Not everybody has that. Yeah.
So let's talk about this song, JB. This is written by Al Kelly with Rico Love, David Guetta, and Sandy V. Now, Sandy V has worked very closely with David Guetta before in the past. Rico Love, typically more from the R&B world, worked with Usher, Nelly, and also on Beyonce's I Am Sasha Fierce album. Now, I think this is a really brilliant meeting point of electropop and R&B, because it still has quite like an R&B cadence and swagger to it. The lyrics like, you know, don't need no VIP to be the boss. No, we ain't stopping right here. We take the party to the crib. Like, it's very something you would hear in an R&B song, but it's just really dressed up in this production. And I think we're obviously celebrating Commander, but there were lots of artists that were starting to do that at that time. Usher, for instance, Neo was doing that. So it felt very much like the world was headed in this fusion direction.
I think this could really have the potential to break through dance, pop, R&B markets. It could really cross over on all of them.
Possibly a little too club heavy for a lot of people. Now, I'll tell you who it wasn't too club heavy for. Lorraine on GMTV in the morning.
Oh, yes, Kelly. Oh, you're looking beautiful, Kelly. You're getting down the gym.
I mean, yeah, prime time position on
7
GMTV.
O'clock in the morning, they were blasting this in a studio. Kelly was there switching it up with her dances.
Oh, Kelly, I love your new single. You can dance to it, you know.
But yeah, it's so funny, isn't it, when we watch back at these performances, like the Saturday's performance on GMTV sometimes. It's like huge Poppers O'Clock tunes at like so early in the morning.
I mean, look, I think that primed us all as gay men. That's how I like to start my day. Like, it's never too early for a Poppers O'Clock bop. But yeah, I love it.
Joel, we need to talk about the music video. Now, this one is directed by Japanese videographer Masashi Muto, who has shot for world-renowned fashion houses like Comme des Garçons, Izumiyake. I like the concept of this video. I don't think the execution was the most polished, but I appreciate the theme. What do you think of it?
Absolutely. Completely agree with what you said. The music video portrays Kelly Rowland facing off another Kelly Rowland in various dance scenes. We've kind of got latex or PVC all in black and then latex or PVC all in red. Obviously, on one hand, a bit of like Destiny's Child Lose My Breath with the various against
or
each
Mariah
other.
Or Mariah in Heartbreaker where she's fighting Bianca, or LVB.
Most obviously, Victoria Beckham's Not Such an Innocent Girl, but it is slick and it is fabulous. Kelly does a bloody amazing job. It was clear that this was out as the international non-US single, so therefore it didn't have necessarily a huge budget. So I just want to say, that the music video would make a great Drag Race lip sync. Has it been done before that you can recall?
Have we ever had Commander?
But Kelly's giving that in the video. No, Kelly v. Kelly is giving Drag Race lip sync. There are two versions of this song. They do have a more R&B version that features Nelly. Let's go.
I think Commander has been written in such a way that it's meant to be a dance track. To hear it sort of like...
Not slowed... a dance track is weird.
Yeah, to hear it like kind of slowed down, they've taken us from GAY to like a striptease performance at the Spearmint Rhino. And I don't think that's what Commander should be.
No. So I do like the version. I think it's really nice. I think it's very sensual. And I think that's what's brilliant about it. But it doesn't hold a candle to the other version. So as well as our lovely Lorraine on GMTV, Kelly debuted this song at Radio 1's Big Weekender. She also performed it on Radio 1 Live Lounge, which I know is a big favourite of yours, DL.
I don't know. I just think I really romanticised the Live Lounge growing up in Australia because I love the idea that artists would go in, cover a recent song and put like a really, you know, the cover choices are always so unexpected, as we heard with what Girls Aloud have done or Sugar Babes. But yeah, the acoustic version of Commander, I went on the blogosphere straight away to download that because I was just like, yeah, I need to hear Kelly's vocals. And her voice sounds incredible on that.
I feel like the DJ is my bodyguard. You see the way he keeps me safe with the treble in the bass. I feel free enough to party hard. This dress won't go to waste. Feels like I own the place. Don't need no VIP to be the boss. You see the way these people stare, watching how I fling my hair. I'm a dance floor lover.
Absolutely. And what I love about it especially is just the intro of her and Fern Cotton talking about Ibiza. And I'm like, Fern and Kelly need to go and stay with our Jenny Frost in Ibiza.
Oh my God. Come on, Jenny. Give us a booking.com deal.
Absolutely. Frost right back at you 20.
Promo code thank you, baby. It's so funny to think of Fern as a Radio 1 DJ, because that was not the era that I was in the UK for. So I look back at this, I'm like, oh, okay, of course she is. Like,
what do you think of Fern Cotton as then?
I just see her as like a solo entity that's not attached to like a BBC or,
right?
You know what I mean? I just see her as
you've
her
really
thing.
Caught that era of Fern. Whereas to us, because she was such like a prominent, beloved TV presenter when we were growing up as kids and then moving over to radio, like that's kind of... Those are always embedded with her, but obviously she's absolutely slaying the game, as you said, a solo entity. So good on you, Fern.
I just want to say, JB, we should give a shout out to Commander being chosen as the opening song for Miss Universe 2010. Oh. Now, that is a slay. Obviously, Al Kelly wasn't there, very sadly, to perform, but in a real Miss Congeniality moment, all the finalists had to go on stage, do a little choreo to Commander, which I imagine was done by you and Aaron Renfrey, obviously.
Absolutely. Now, so this was in 2010, David. And yes, a fabulous, fabulous performance from the Miss Universe contestants. But the year before, Heidi Montag was there to perform Body Language. So now I'm like, did Kelly just know she couldn't outdo Heidi and that's why she didn't show up?
How could anyone possibly?
Dance Kelly should do a cover of Body Language, though. That would absolutely slap. Like, read my body language. You know, just add a bit of like to it. A bit of zh-zh-zh, a bit of vroom, you know? So here in the UK, though, Davo, This was one of Kelly's longest runs on the UK Top 40. It was in the UK Top 40 for 16 weeks. And it actually became Kelly's third best-selling solo single here in the UK, with 285,000 copies being sold. So it peaked here, with all that in hand, it peaked here in the UK at number 9, but it peaked at number 2 on the UK dance charts. In Australia, it peaked at number 61 on the ARIA charts, but it did peak at number 11 on the Australia dance charts, which is absolutely fabulous.
We were supporting it in the gay clubs. We were supporting it on Joy FM.
Oh, yes. Joy FM, triple platinum, I am sure. Number 2 in the Belgium charts, Hello Belgium, 55 in Canada, 16 in the Czech Republic, 20 in Finland, 16 in Germany, 7 on the Global Dance Songs Billboard chart. Very, very impressive. Number 16 in New Zealand and...
Number 1 on the Billboard Dance Club Songs. Get it, Kelly.
So, Devo, around this time, there were reports online saying that her debut single from this album era for the American market was due to be Shake Them Haters Off. Now, that was leaked, as you informed me, but it was never released, was it?
No, it's never formally released. It's a really fun kind of feel-good, radio-ready song. It's written by Neo. But yeah, for some reason, there was already stuff in the press to say that it's impacting US radios in June, literally just a month after Commander came out everywhere. And then suddenly it didn't happen. She had a bit of a switcheroo. And we're going to talk about the two singles that Kelly ends up going with, which is Rose Colored Glasses and Grown Woman.
I'm not sure if any of these three singles are the right choices. I think Shake Them Haters Off, thank you so much for introducing me to it. I think potentially it is the strongest out of these three songs.
Oh, you like that one? Okay.
I like it. I'm not really, I don't have a set in stone comment, but I'm not sure if doing two singles was the right approach, which we'll talk about now.
I think you have to be confident, don't you?
Yeah.
You have to go for one or the other. But the strategy with going with Rose Colored Glasses and Grown Woman is one was meant to service pop contemporary radios, which is Rose Colored Glasses. And then Grown Woman was meant to service the US, quote unquote, urban radios. So again, you know, we need to treat these as sort of very specifically targeted promo singles. But again, as we said at the start of the episode, us global fans are like seeing everything, taking everything in. So the minute something doesn't pop off or doesn't work on a certain, you know, chart, then fans start to get a little bit worried, perhaps.
Absolutely.
It's all about the perception of the project, isn't it?
It is. So let's go with June 2010, Rose Colored Glasses.
JV, I absolutely love Rose Colored Glasses. I actually think it's one of Kelly's most underrated songs. The lyrics, the first time I heard it, like just, I think it brought a tear to my eyes because I had never heard a song like this before. Aww. It's basically describing about how different a relationship can look behind closed doors versus what people from the outside perceive it to be. And I've never heard such brilliant songwriting. We really have to give a shout out to Esther Dean, who wrote this song. Esther Dean at this point was like really flying or was about to take off with Super Bass for Nicki Minaj. She's written for tons of other artists. And for Kelly to get this song, she said she cried the first time she heard it. And I can see why she has such a strong emotional connection to this. And I thought it was a really bold and interesting choice to be a single. What do you think of it?
Discovering it for this episode, this is the first time I'm hearing and seeing it, to be completely honest. I think it's a great song. It's a really good song. I don't think it's big lead single energy.
That's fair enough.
I think it's very sort of stereotypical or safe sounding. I think they kind of spread it too thin with these two songs and should have just hit it really strong with one.
What we're going to about to get into with the album, we're about to see Confidence in the following year with that album and that body of work. Whereas here it feels like they're still figuring stuff out. Yeah. But having said that, I was so obsessed with Rose Colored Glasses. This is the second Kelly song in my top 10 songs of the year that year.
Wow.
Commander was obviously number one.
Fabulous. Not everybody has that. Kelly's got two hits in a Feed Limmy. Is that what your blog was called at that point? Feed Limmy?
Yeah.
In a Feed Limmy WordPress top 10 end of year. Songs of 2010. So good on you, Kelza. Someone add that to Kelly's Wikipedia. This song, though, did have an absolutely stunning music video directed by Rankin. Now, this was a music video that really showed off Al Kelly's acting ability.
Oh, yeah. She got into a bit of drama in this one, right?
Dramatique.
It was very, like, fashion editorial, but also, like, the acting scenes were so dramatic. She's having a row with her man. She smashes him over the head with a vase. I was like, oh, my God, Keller, that is assault.
Keller!
Also, at the time, Joel, there was, like, a really prevalent narrative that this is meant to be a 3D music video.
I can't believe it.
I don't really understand it, because once I saw it on YouTube, I was like, am I meant to have 3D glasses on? Like, what am I meant to do?
Well, David, I know. Googling about this song, your blog came up from the time, and I loved it. Oh, so this is where we were aligned. So I'd seen that this was meant to be a 3D music video, but it wasn't 3D. I couldn't find 3D. What came up straight away was Feed Limmy's article, where you said something so brilliantly along the lines of, now don't sit here for 4 minutes like I have in my 3D glasses waiting for it to become 3D.
Did I say that?
Something like that, yeah. You wanted Kelly in 3D?
I wanted Kelly in 3D. I wanted the fucking white doves to be like leaping off my screen. Something. There's
one prominent performance of this at Walmart soundcheck where she sounds absolutely fabulous and the audience is loving it. They're singing along. Like, I think of, like, maybe from, like, 2009 till about now of when artists would do a Walmart soundcheck. It was kind of like the next generation after, like, an AOL session.
If y'all can, I know y'all can on tonight, all you beautiful people. I want to see y'all put your hands together like this. Can you hear me? I can't see you back there, red shirt. Participate.
Everybody's saying that we should get back together. Everybody's saying that we're meant to be.
So for a pop, really, I would say it's a pop radio release. I don't know if you'd agree with that, David.
Yeah.
In terms of charts, we've got 25 in Slovakia on the radio top 100.
Okay.
28 in the South Korean international charts.
Wow.
And 39 on the US top 40 airplay. So not bad at all.
It's not bad. It's not a big runaway hit. So shall we talk about the other release that was happening simultaneously, Grown Woman? Now, Joel, this one's not available on streaming for us over here. Any US Rolling Stoners, let me know if it's on your Spotify, your Apple Music over there, because I've obviously got a version from just being a fan back in the day. Now, Joel, I love this song. Now, this is a bit of me. This one's written by Neo and Stargate, produced by Stargate.
Icons.
It's about Kelly confronting a woman who is her partner's ex, trying to come between them. And I love it. It just goes, and I don't understand how he was ever with you because he's with me now. I'm so grown and intelligent. It's clearly evident that you're a child. And honey, playtime is not right now. Ah, Kelly!
We've got performance art here on the podcast from David Lim, ladies, gents, and non-binary friends. I want an evening of you reading Kelly Rowland lyrics, David. Maybe we could get that as the intro for Hopelessette.
I love it.
I would say this one is giving me kind of like a grown-up JoJo Too Little Too Late vibe.
Ooh, yes. It's very that kind of tempo, that kind of vibe.
I still don't think this is lead single for Kelly Rowland, but I would have ditched the other song and just gone with this.
Oh, really? You would have gone with this over Rose Colored Glasses?
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting.
I would have given this the big push. I just think there's a lot more to it. Neo, Stargate.
True.
It's just got a lot more oomph to it. A video for this was due to be shot in July 2010 and then pushed back to August 2010. It's currently unknown if the video was shot because nothing's ever been released or surfaced.
Maybe they just decided in the last minute, do you know what? It's not really taking off on,
don't fancy it.
On radio. So let's just move on. Yeah. Very interesting at the time. But this song did chart on the US hip hop R&B song charts at number 51. So enough people were tuned into it to pick it up. So thank you to those people.
And all is not lost. She did perform this song for the first and potentially only time at Neo's post-American Awards Vivo party.
So Jollibee, we are now at September 2010. We have dance floor diva Kelly back in the chat. Thank you, Kelly, for popping back over. She's now here with a new single, Forever and a Day. Forever and a Day.
I like it. I don't love it. It's not single worthy from our curl. And it's giving, and not even in the best possible way, it's giving Saturday single and music video. And I would normally mean that with high praise. And this time I'm just like, I think Kelly deserves more.
I think so too. It was filmed out in LA with British director Sarah Chatfield, who Kelly would go on to work with many more times in this era. What's a little bit funny about this is you can tell that this video was filmed at the time the iPad just came out. All that kind of swipe, slide to unlock, all the apps on the screen, you know, the
very modern.
The finger suddenly appearing in the music video to zoom in on Kelly. Very meta.
And don't get me wrong, it's clearly got a good budget. Kelly looks phenomenal. And I think if it had a different song paired with it, like we'd be
all over it a little bit more.
We'd be
yeah,
all over it.
For sure. Al Kelly does look phenomenal in it. And I want to ask you, JB, do you think this is the first sighting of the world famous Kelly Rowland beauty mark? The mole.
Oh my God.
Because I think this is the first video it showed up in. And I'm like, oh, Kelly.
Kelly.
A mole? It was like a story. At the time she was on The X Factor, like the Daily Mail did a full page feature on Kelly's moving beauty mark. Like, where is it going to be on her face this week?
Wherever she wants it to be, you know?
To be honest, I thought it was pretty iconic.
This song, by the time, if it premiered in August, remember this is still a time where songs have big lead-ins. So if it premieres in August, isn't really released until the end of September, therefore it's not charting until beginning of October. She promoted this on the Alan Titchmarsh show on the 7th of October. It's just too late.
You feel like it should be like an early summer song.
How are you going to have the song of the summer or even a song of the summer if it's then not charting till October?
I just don't think it was the right song for that time. And you know what? We live and learn as Kelly did and the team did, because this single, I didn't even know she did a TV promo for it on Alan's show. This song peaked at number 49 on the UK singles chart. So still a top 50 hit.
This again is a new discovery for me, if I'm completely honest. 2010, 2011 is that moment in time where I don't have a brace on pop culture because it was around the time I was doing the cruise.
Yeah, you were off on a sea. They didn't send the track to you guys. Yeah.
I would have literally, because if Commander was like at the end of college, I then graduated, got on that boat, A year of pop culture gone.
Gone. Just whatever that was in the MP3 CDs out there.
Literally, I just downloaded... I remember turning on the internet because we had to pay for the internet. It was so expensive.
Oh, God. And you're not going to, like, boat. Yeah, on that slow internet, no. download music, are you?
So there was a few... I remember I did it once to download Selena Gomez and the Scene's second album.
How long did that take you? 5 hours.
No, probably not.
Patchy Wi-Fi out in the Bermuda.
Yeah. Just heard like 5 seconds of each song. It was great. But other than that, unless it was someone who I was purposefully trying to keep up with, absolutely no hope. Absolutely no hope.
No, the box
hope.
Out in the sea.
No.
None of that.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely
no.
No
MTV. Wow.
No. But yes, as you said, 49 here in the UK, 98 in South Korea, 64 in Slovakia on their radio charts, a little bit better in Scotland, 43. Thank you, Scotland.
So yeah, the rest of 2010 was really Kelly recalibrating. She was back in the studio, writing, recording more material for the album. Because she had done so many interviews up to this point of saying the album's coming in 2010, people were asking her for it. And it just was clear that maybe because there wasn't a massive hit off the back of these songs coming out, she was back in the studio trying to work it out.
Work.
But the good news is she did have a number 11 hit with Tiny Temper on Invincible here in the UK. So that sort of tided Kelly over a little bit in this market. But what we're about to get into in 2011 is going to be next level. So I feel like this preparation time was so important for Kelly.
Yeah.
And the confidence, the slayage that she came back with in a new year...
Let's go to March, David, where the motivation for the album for Alkel really kicked in and things get really fabulous.
Really sexy, if you will.
Oh my God.
Motivation featuring Lil Wayne comes out in March 2011. We know Alkel is a sex positive queen. We've heard Work.
Put it in.
But this, I don't want to feel my legs. You're almost there now. So go, lover, make mama proud. And when we're done, I wanna feel my legs.
She just wants to have a great time. I mean, imagine being Kelly Rowland. Like, imagine being that gorgeous, that sexy, that body, like that talented. I'd just be flaunting it left, right and center, you know.
Motivation does all the things that Kelly was trying to express with the first two US promo singles, but it does it with more confidence, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's saying I'm grown, I'm a sensual woman, I'm not afraid to show it. Honestly, Janet Jackson would be proud. There's no denying the pedigree behind this. It's written and produced by Rico Love, once again, with Jim Johnson, who's worked with Usher and Lil Wayne. And the fact that she has Lil Wayne on this song, it's like instant credibility and kudos, you know. US radios are going to fucking sit up and pay attention.
Let's talk about the music video. So she's got our Sarah Chatfield back again, and it follows a number of sultry scenes where Kelly dances seductively amongst sexy dancers, basically sexy, muscular male dancers, topless, sometimes just in pants.
I mean, I love this shadowy giant warehouse that looks like it could be like a car
sexy.
Garage or something.
That's so sexy.
But everyone's just that little bit sweaty and grimy, like they've been working at the mechanics.
And the lighting is this blues and purples. And oh, that is gorgeous light. Like, oh, lighting, when you get it right, which they did here.
What's really lovely about this video also is that Kelly's back working with Frank Gatson Jr., who choreographed this video. Now, he's literally worked with her since the Destiny's Child days. So it's really nice to have Frank back in the team. You know, this is the first time we're seeing in this era that Kelly's getting like great choreography. Like the male dancers are really going for it. You know, it's like Chippendales, but in a sexy, grimy garage warehouse.
I do think, though, that they could have taken this music video concept, this lighting direction, the aesthetic of it all for Commander, this budget, Kelly like commanding them all, owning them all, could have worked so well for Commander.
And that can be the concept. She's training an army to go dance.
Wouldn't you love to do a Kelly's Barry boot camp?
I can't keep up. Look at her.
I can't keep up.
No fucking way.
I'm exhausted just watching it, girl. When we're going through this journey in our research, and obviously there's been ups and downs, and then just like, fucking hell, yes, Kelly Rowland, you show them who you are.
Exactly. Which is why there was like such thrill when this was a success. And I think, you know, even though this was like very much geared towards the US R&B market, because it was successful there, that reverberated to the fandom around the world and we all got excited by it.
So Al Kell performed this at the BET Awards 2011 and on Jimmy Kimmel Live. She was nominated for 2 awards at the 2011 Soul Train Music Awards, Best Dance Performance and Song of the Year. It won Song of the Year, David.
Now, going back to that 2011 BET Awards performance, that was the first time Kelly ever performed Motivation. And it was just such a moment because, first of all, the mystery of it. You can't see Kelly's face because she's in all black, black shirt, black trousers, and a huge floppy hat. Very Janet Jackson, I Get Lonely style. But all you see is just this slick choreography, great live vocals. People were shook.
Right, if Kylie Anne was Sex Puss, what would Kelly be? Whereas I think...
Sex Panther.
Yes!
A panther. That is a panther on the runway.
Because Kylie still does it in such a Sex Puss way of like kitten, sexy kitten.
Yeah, it's coquettish, yeah.
Whereas
Kelly is strong. She's a commander bitch.
Kelly is a commander bitch. And Sex Panther is it on the head, David Lim. So you should be very proud of that. Just as Kelly should be proud of this song getting nominated for Grammy Award for Best Rap /Sung Collaboration at the 54th Grammy Awards in February 2012.
I mean, I would say this is the spiritual, true lead single of this era. We love Commander. We see those as maybe standalone satellite singles, but now the era begins because we're seeing the artwork, the cohesion. We're really moving towards something now.
Absolutely. So there is also a Diplo remix of this,
which I actually really prefer over the original.
Really?
I like what Diplo was doing with it. Like, he messed with it a little with a bit of dubstep, which is very of the time, obviously. And when I'm done, she hold me like a conversation piece of paper.
Calendria, what a way to be back and better than ever. In America, this song peaked at number one on the Hot R&B /Hip Hop Songs charts, where it stayed there for 7 weeks in a row and peaked at number 17 on the Billboard Hot 100. It became Kelly's second US top 20 hit, her 4th top 30 overall, and her 2nd highest performing single to date as a solo artist behind Dilemma, certified double platinum. Outside of America, number 36 on the Australian Urban Aria charts, number 99 in Canada, top 10 in Hungary, and here in the UK, 166 and 38 on the UK hip hop R&B charts.
Now, JB, shall we move on to May 2011, where Kelly's back in the dance world with What a Feeling, Alex Goldino featuring Kelly Rowland.
Bearing in mind of how switched on and switched in you were to Kelly in this era, did you just sort of explode when she released this?
Oh, yeah. This was like, I think at this point I was already on Joy 94.9 and I was just having the best time listening to all the new music they get in every week. And I remember the first time I heard this, I was just like, okay, this is like instant daytime radio material for Joy. like, this is what we need, Kelly. This is
And this, right, where, you know, the previous song, the previous European single, where I was saying it was just way too late to be Song of the Summer. Here, service to radios in March with a May release. That is how you do it. And then you've got Song of the Summer.
Now, the music video, JB, look, Kelly looks stunning in this, but it's a very simple video affair. We don't
need.
That's all you need. You know, you don't need to spend a lot of budget. You just need the money spent in the right places.
Knee-high boots.
Oversized white shirt, thigh-high boots, sexy. The concept is meant to look like a dress rehearsal or a tech run before a show. So it's meant to look casual without an audience.
Casual with Kelly.
Casual with Kelly, but actually... Slay.
And by Kelly, we don't mean Kelly Rowland, we mean Lorraine Kelly.
Your Lorraine Kelly is really good. Can you do like Lorraine, like interviewing Kelly backstage for this video?
Oh no. Like,
ooh, you need to start with a ooh.
Oh, Kelly. What a feeling. I love that one. Oh, the knee-high boots are so sexy, Kelly. Do you think I could get away with the knee-high boots? Oh no, Kelly, I couldn't.
So here in the UK, number 6 smash hit single, number 3 on the UK dance singles charts, and number 1 on the UK indie charts. So we will say it's a number 1 smash hit single. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Number 5 on the Scottish charts. Thank you, Scotland. And number 22 in Poland, 84 in Germany, but number 6 on the German dance charts, 38 in Ireland, 47 in Italy. In America, it went in at number 26 on the US dance club songs, which basically means the gays were feeling it, as you bloody should. On that note, David, shall we really get into it? With Kelly's third album, Here I Am, first released in May 2011, we then see several different international releases. But let's definitively talk about the album Here and Now.
JB, I absolutely love this album. To me, it's a non-skip album. But let's start with the artwork, because I think it's such a classic artwork, isn't it? The photo shoot for this album... Sexy?
She's been in Sweatbox for at least 7 hours there.
The pores are open and clear. The toxins are released. This album cover, they're all black and white shots of Kelly. Close up her face. You know, you're either going to get like a blue tint or like a pinky purple tint, which is the international version. Now, Jolie B, this album photography is done by Derek Blanks, who... He's quite an iconic photographer in his time, especially. He's shot a lot of stuff for Essence magazine, the BET Networks, and also Ebony magazine. So he knows how to shoot black women beautifully, for sure. And the brief I remember Kelly saying at this point was that she wanted to show more skin with this album because she feels like, this is me. That's what she wants to show to the world, you know. This album is a real reflection of her self-confidence, her coming of age. This is a statement album for her. She feels that I have arrived, which is why the album's called Here I Am.
Here I Am, exactly.
And you know, our Kelly is 30.
30, flirty and thriving.
But don't you just feel like when you get to your 30s, you just feel like a different kind of confidence that you get in yourself?
Yeah, it's here, you literally are Here I Am. It's a phenomenal album. I do feel, especially like the international version that we had here in the UK and that you got in Australia, I feel like Kelly could rock up to Hoopla, do that album back to front, and we would all have an amazing time.
And there's some top-tier producers and writers that are on board for this album. We got Tricky Stewart, who's worked on Maya's Case of the X, worked on Beyoncé's Single Ladies. We got Esther Dean, as we talked about before, who's worked with Christina Aguilera and the Pussycat Dolls. We got Dark Child, worked with Destiny's Child, Whitney, Michael Jackson, Red One, Neo and Stargate. Like, this is top tier stuff. So JB, I know I've been talking a lot on this episode, and it's probably because I spent so much time with this album, but I'm dying to know, what are your album track picks for Here I Am? Give me your first one.
All right. I'm going to go with Feeling Me Right Now.
Okay.
Now, I love this song, and it's L-O-V-E in capital letters. Close, near
feel like this album is Kelly Rowland's Sex and the City character era.
Oh, and we know the girls love Sex and the City from the girl music video.
Exactly. So this is that kind of confident, independent young woman in the city, living her life. She's in control. She is exploring, finding herself, but she won't take shit, you know?
This, again, makes me feel so nostalgic for this time and this era. And I just didn't even know I felt nostalgic for it. I think it's like, I was just like back living in London, or not even living in London, but living in Essex, going out in London, going to Q Bar a lot, going out in Soho a lot, and just sort of catching up on pop culture. Like, there's a lot of like, who's this? Who's that? What's going on? What's Nicki Minaj? Who's this? Like, what? Okay. Just like, yeah, brilliant. Great. Catching up with it all.
This is a self-love anthem. She's talking about making love to herself.
As she should.
But, you know, you think back to Kelly and Destiny's Child and what they stand for. Like, this song is a real female empowerment anthem. You know, verse two, she goes, she don't need no Clyde. Tonight, she's all right. She's so bonny. So buying champagne won't have her running. She covers her own tab.
Love that, Kelly. Love that. All right, Dayro, give me your first standout track from this album.
I'm going to start with Each Other, the bonus track.
Okay.
I wish that he was up in my room. So I'm off to Paris, can't miss my train. Be crowded to us. We're meant to love each other.
A sexy, steamy, pounding dance track.
Yes.
That is just basically Kelly thinking about the man she just hooked up with the night before.
Mm. Just listening, it gives you the vibes of when you're in the club and you make eyes with someone and then you spend the rest of the night trying to find them.
Yeah.
You're like, that's them and I'm going to be back to them. Listening to it, it doesn't sound dated, but it does sound very...
It gives you memories of certain things, right?
The excitement of a night out. Ooh. And like seeing a guy or like...
Love it. Love it. JB, do you want to give us another track that you're into, that you're feeling right now?
I want to give you another track that I'm feeling right now is Turn It Up.
Oh, another Dark Child banger. Yes. What I love about this song is that it's such a good side chick anthem.
God, should have played it for Camilla.
You know, it's Kelly singing about being the other woman and she's despairing. She's decided to drink alone because that's the only way she can stop herself from going in and telling the wife everything. I could tell her that you said you loved me. I could tell her that you're unhappy. Instead, I'm sipping till I'm empty.
What goes around comes around, buy another round. Get me that on a pillow, get me that on a tea towel, get me that on a mug. Buy another round. Drinks are on Kelly. What I'm going to say is, Kelly, girls, boys, non-binary friends, don't bother getting yourself muddled up with someone that's already got a partner. There's plenty more fish in the sea. You don't need to be a shy chick. You are main character.
Listen to the JB.
Thank you, David. All right. I'm so curious to know what another fave for you is.
This is probably going to be the last highlight that I'll pick for this because we have so many singles here. But I just want to give a shout out to the gorgeous love song, Keep It Between Us. Now, Jolie B, did you know that there was a music video for this?
What? David Lim. I'm like, give me the heads up on anything I might miss. I didn't see a music video for
I'll
this.
I'll send it to you now.
Just a plain old girl, I don't need nothing. They say you got it all, but they don't know that all is you. Is you. So don't give your love away, 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 away. Oh, oh.
Someone's has put, Kelly should really get into more acting roles. You can tell she is super comfortable behind the camera. She made this seem so real.
She's an actress, darling, an actress.
Wow, so she really did give us such a beautiful Parisian music video for this one. Not since Girls Aloud did Whole Lot of History in France has there been such a beautiful Parisian music video. The difference is Kelly can talk because she's gone the right way.
Yes.
And there's no, like, trying to be a single release with it, just a gift for the fans.
No, yeah, as far as I can remember, this music video was put out around Valentine's Day in 2012 as a sort of, you know, a special way to mark this song. It wasn't done as a single or anything, but I think it's really tender. It's really beautiful. It's one of my favorites when I'm just like on a European holiday and I'm just walking around by myself and I just like to put this song on and just be like, oh God, I wish I was in love.
Whilst it was number one triple platinum on the David Lim charts, it peaked at number 61 on the Australian ARIA charts, number 15 on the Australian Urban charts, 43 here in the UK, but number 8 on the UK R&B albums charts, 87 in Ireland, 41 on the Scottish album charts, but most importantly and impressively, number 3 on the US Billboard 200 and number 1 on the US top R&B / hip hop album charts.
Absolutely amazing, JB. Look, we might have missed you a little with this Kelly Rowland album when you were coming back, but hopefully now you're quite up to speed.
Absolutely. And even though it didn't peak in the top 40 here in the UK, it was still certified silver, which is very, very impressive. You know, there are top 40 albums that are lucky if they get gold. So from August to December this year, Al Kelly did her legendary one series stint, but very prominent and memorable on the UK X Factor. Who knew you could do up tempo? Ow! And Al Kell was a huge part in putting together the lineup of Little Mix, as we know in the more recently resurfaced footage. While we quickly are on the X Factor, David, Al Kelly did an amazing medley performance when her album came out on the X Factor, which I really thought off the back of that, the album would have charted higher.
I know, I think that's what everyone thought as well, but I think that performance crammed in a little too much. Like, if you're going to do Down For Whatever, like, really give us Down For Whatever, you know what I mean? Mm. But I guess she was trying to give you, like, a bit of a sampler of all the up-tempos, yeah.
I love you, UK. Ready? Here I am.
It's complicated. It always is. It's just the way it goes. Cause I can feel it coming over me. I wouldn't stop it if I could. When love takes over. You know you can't deny. When love takes over. Cause something that's here tonight.
The album's out tomorrow, right?
The album is out right now. Here I Am. If you don't have it, you want to have it.
Okay.
It's a great album.
Thanks, Anna. Listen, X Factor tradition, we have to throw to one of the judges. Louis, your thoughts?
You know what, Kelly? You put it down, girl! Damn it! You kind of remind me of a young Tina Turner.
There we go.
And I'm also, I'm going to buy that album tomorrow.
Well, thank you, Louis.
Right, thank you one more time, my very own Kelly Rowland!
There's no denying her talent and like she slayed that performance, but I think maybe it didn't give it a moment to feel the bigness that we know works for
that stage.
When Cheryl's done Fight of This Love, when Alexandra Burke came back and did Bad Boys. I think it got there by the end, but where Kelly is owning it, there was nothing to help it feel that hugeness of the stage.
Yeah, we could have had more moments, yeah.
But there's no denying that she absolutely slayed it.
Listen, there's no denying that this was a massive career move for Kelly. I mean, Series 8 of The X Factor was so huge. Coming off the back of the One Direction year, this series averaged 10 million viewers every single week. I have no doubt that off the back of her doing even just one series of X Factor, she's had such a kinship with the UK public. Obviously, the dance hits and everything has been prominent, but people really fell in love with Kelly
this is the one series of The X Factor I watched, like watched every week without a doubt, was looking forward to watching it. I loved and was rooting for Little Mix, but I also really liked Janet Devlin, and it was a really, really strong year. And it was just a really great, entertaining year of television, and Kelly was fabulous. I don't know about anyone else, but in my memory, you feel like she did more than one season because she was so prominent and memorable. I personally am not really a big fan of the show and what it is, but this year was like, I think it was the last year that was the possibility of me loving it.
At this time, I was blogging about The X Factor as well, so I was very tuned in.
Davo, let's continue with August. It's the first month X Factor's airing here in the UK, but Al Kelly releases Lay It On Me featuring Big Sean.
Joel, in the way that you're talking about how nostalgic some of this music is for your nights out when you came back from the cruise, listening to this song for the first time in years, it's just made me so nostalgic for the summer of pop R&B in this year. I mean, this song is written by the incredible Esther Dean, produced by Hit-Boy, who has worked with Selena Gomez, Kendrick Lamar, Kanye. I will always equate this song with that kind of wave of music that came after Rihanna's What's My Name. You know, 2010, Rihanna, What's My Name, that was so massive as a radio hit. We had this song the following year, but also we had Nicki Minaj's Super Bass. We had Nicole Scherzinger, Right Now. We had J-Lo, I'm Into You. Like these kind of like summery R&B mid-tempos that were kind of romantic and very radio friendly. Oh my God, I was eating it up at the time.
And I think it's that feeling of like, yeah, the J-Lo I'm Into You really encapsulates it. Like I loved that song.
Oh yeah.
You know, for me in my early 20s, it all feels fresh and new and exciting and all of that.
Now, Jolie B, this music video, I would say, is the most beautiful music video we're going to talk about in this episode.
Really?
Would you say? I'm shook by every frame of this video. I cannot
you
even
say
tell
this
you.
Is better than Motivation.
I think this is more beautiful than Motivation. I like the griminess of Motivation, but every single look Kelly is serving, every frame, it's like you can screenshot that. Hang it in the Louvre. Like, it's that beautiful.
So what's interesting is that Kelly shot this music video and Down For Whatever back to back.
Same video director. She was on a schedule. She had to mentor Janet Devlin and the Mother Girls. So she was just like, let me get my shit together. Lay it down, da down, down, da down, down, down. Lay it down, da down, down, da down, down, down. Lay it down, da down, down, da down, down, down.
We've got Kelly and lots of hunky male dancers again. The shots are exquisite. I completely agree with you on that. My favourite in the video is I love the shots with Kelly draped in across these sexy topless men.
I love that they're in the shape of a couch as well. So she's kind of like reclining on top of the men.
She's singing Lay On Me, but she will lay on you.
I also love that shot of her in the white kind of one piece. And she's sort of sliding down in front of this male dancer. And as she gets lower in the shot, you realize he's completely naked. And that's just her head in front of his bits. I was like, Kelly! I even audibly gasped watching it. Like a few minutes before this episode.
And you can't, like, you know, you don't normally get one of your most music videos, most beautiful music videos when you're filming two back to back. It's normally, but they really managed to get all the gorgeous shots in this one. And then there's that full body ribbon pull shot.
Oh yeah. With the material. Yeah.
It's just Kelly on her own, but in the middle being pulled either way.
And she's like meant to be like naked between the sheets of
between
material.
The sheets.
Yeah. Now, JB, I've got something to say about that shot. So some comparisons were made on the blogosphere around this time that the director, Sarah Chatfield, were taking from another female artist's ideas that she did for them and adapting it to Kelly's videos. Sarah. So if you watch Livvy Frank's Now I'm That Bitch video, there's some quite similar ideas, including that ribbon shot.
Literally, it's like a shot-for-shot recreation for some of them.
For some of them. I mean, you know, I don't want to say that she plagiarized herself, but, you know.
But so Al Sarah directed both videos, yeah?
Yeah.
So I do wonder if it's a case of quite last minute and Kelly's like, I've got to shoot these two videos back to back. Do you have anything that will work? And Sarah might have gone, look, I'm going to have to reuse a few things, Kelly, if we want it done in this short notice.
She might have even told Kelly that and just put it in the mood board and be like, hey, I want to do this.
Or Sarah's like, I loved this. I want to serve it. I loved it so much. I want to serve it to where I know we'll get more eyes on it.
Exactly. Kelly's the biggest star. No offense to Livvy Frank, but, you know, there's going to be more eyes on Kelly Rowland's video. So let's take that idea was perfectly fine in the other video and recreate it. So, I mean, I'm not mad about it, but I just wanted to let people know that, look, these are references that were already existing. So, yeah, that was that ribbon shot. But also, like, even Kelly laying on top of the blokes, that was in Livvy Frank's video as well.
I feel like there's more of that conversation to come in the next single, but we'll get there. But our favourite detective is on the case, David Lim, so thank you for that.
Detective Lim Toya.
So this did peak at number 43 on the US Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs charts. And although it did not peak in the Billboard Top 100, it did appear on the Bubbling Under Hot 100 chart at number 9. Internationally, Lay On Me peaked at both 69 in UK and Japan.
69, okay. Lay It On Me indeed.
Lay It On Me indeed. Let's move to October 2011, David, where me, you, Kelly, we're all down for whatever.
Oh my God, down for whatever, JB. This is our final single of the episode, and I've been so looking forward to getting into this because I think this is like one of my favorite Kelly songs of all time.
I think this is the best song we're going to talk about this episode, David, if I'm completely honest.
Oh my God, let's go for it. We all need that Sex in Public anthem, and Al Calendria has given it to us here.
Red One, Kelly.
I just want to say, Red One, Kelly Rowland, why wasn't there more songs from these sessions?
Heisey took them all, didn't she? Jay, don't worry, I got her. We're just blessed that we had this. Yes, we would love more. Especially in terms of the way she's saying, I want to serve two markets with this era. I don't want to be put in a box. I want to do dance and I want to do R&B. So she is ending it on, I am giving you dance. Like, if you've liked my previous dance collaborations, like, this then is the one for you.
I just kind of wish that this had come sooner. Like, I wish after Motivation, this was the single. You know, going into the summer, she's about to appear on The X Factor. I would have loved Down for Whatever then. Like, can you imagine that as a pride anthem in that summer?
Look, it probably took a long... It took this whole journey to get these tracks. But if you then look back and look at it now and streamline it, we could have just gone Commander, Motivation, Down for Whatever.
And then boom,
and,
you know.
And for that, for all territories, including America. But it is what it is. And we're just thankful to have the music at the end of the day.
We are thankful. JB, can we talk about this music video? Because it is like... Oh my God, it's so stunning. Don't you love that opening shot of this video where Al Kelly is seemingly naked on top of a podium in nothing but Diamante encrusted stiletto heels?
That's what I'm wearing to work tomorrow.
Very Essex Hun. Love it. But then the lights projected on her, you know, the lens flares are kind of blocking out her bits.
Don't mind me. My lens flares are blocking out my bits.
Very Holly Valance kiss kiss trickery. We love it. But it was just like, Oh my God, sexy from the first frame.
Well, she's down for whatever, darling. Now, David, I want you to tell me there were some more comparisons with this music video and another one, wasn't there?
Yeah, so wonderful Sarah Chatfield also directed Freemasons featuring Winter Gordon's Believer, which came out the year before. And for Down for Whatever, she used the same lighting projections on Kelly that she used on Winter Gordon.
It's both kind of circular and like a triangle effect, isn't it?
Those kind of like, you know, it's a dark clubby room with like light projections on the female protagonist. So she's done it. There's been frame by frame screenshots. You can see it for yourself. Do you have a favorite look in this video?
I mean, when you're Kelly, the shoes, like those shoes in the opening shot. What a look. And then also we've got like a bob, which we've not really seen from Kelly like this,
yeah,
have we?
That's true.
Because
yeah.
We've seen the short hair, like the crop, and we've seen the long hair. And yes, we have seen the short hair with the streaks, but we haven't seen a bob like this.
Very editorial, very fashion.
Oh, David, we can't not say the face chains.
The face chains. That is giving a
sexy.
Bit of Grace Jones. Yeah, I love that. Is a bit vintage. Yeah. Taste. Honestly, love this music video. Love this song. I can never get enough of it.
You know how in the 90s and early, in the late 90s and early noughties, every pop video had that same feeling, you know, thinking of like Five, thinking of like 18's Upside Down, thinking of Christina Milian AM to PM. Or Christina Milian, When You Look at Me, even. That sort of feels like it's in a 2000s Rubik's Cube. Kelly's with this video is more like the early 2010s version of a warehouse club.
It's upstairs at Feel It. Who knows? Like, it could be any of these places. We love it.
Although I think this is the best song we'll talk about, do you think the previous video is the best video we'll talk about today?
I think the Lay It On Me video is her most beautiful video. I love the video for Down For Whatever as well. I think Commander and Down For Whatever are very like side by side for me as best songs that we talk about in this episode. What about you?
Yeah, I will say Motivation best video and I will say this best song.
Oh yeah, I feel that. Oh, JB, look at us. Couple of Rolling Stoners, aren't we?
Again, I'm just a Rolling Stoner in training, but I'll go for it. I'll go for it whenever you need me to. Do you know what I mean? So she performed this in her X Factor medley, and while she was also on the X Factor, she flew to the X Factor Germany to perform When Love Takes Over.
Oh, okay. Give them a bit of a throwback. Right.
And not only did she perform When Love Takes Over, she performed it with a finalist. So I'm guessing she was like that Alexandra Burke Beyonce moment.
You know what? Kelly, while she was in London doing The X Factor, was really juggling a lot of European promo for her album at
you
the same
to.
Time.
You got it's, to.
It really was a lot.
While she's there doing special guest duet, she then later in the show also performed Down For Whatever. Also, you know, Down For Whatever, it's sexy, it's GAY. Do you know where's the perfect place to perform and promote it, David? Children in Need, like our Kelly did.
She did not do this at Children in Need.
I'm down for whatever. Well, look, when the
Are
opportunity's there,
she
Children
did.
In Need, Kelly, Down For Whatever.
With the lyrics, getting juice mixed with booze.
Well, look, build that tolerance up at a young age. And I'm joking.
Say the word, and I'll do anything I can say. No to you, juice mixed with boo. No, baby, every word is true. Let me see it, y'all. Come on.
When it comes to you. So, David Lim, it all paid off when it peaked at number 6 here in the UK.
Wow.
Number 3 on the UK dance charts. Not on Australian chart to be found, but we'll let it slide today, okay? 31 in Germany following that promo. 16 in Ireland. 5 in Scotland. We stan. What a redemption for you, Scotland. And 20 in Slovakia.
Oh, absolutely love getting into this era with you, JB. I mean, this has put me in such a, like, mood to get into Kelly's headline set.
Yes, David, thank you so much for really introducing me as a whole to this Kellendria Here I Am album.
We can't wait to see what the Mighty Hoopla set list will be. And if you guys are really hyped for Kelly as well, let us know in the comments. Let us know how you're feeling. I know we've covered a lot of international / American artists this year so far. Maybe it's a little bit different for Right Back At You, but we're enjoying the kind of different parts of the noughties that it's taking us to.
Oh yeah, and don't worry, we've got all our favourite UK huns coming up soon. But in the meantime, Kelly, we cannot wait to see you giving us an amazing show at Mighty Hoopla, and we can't wait to see you guys at Mighty Hoopla. If you're there, do give us a big hello and let's celebrate this amazing pop festival together. If I'm crying after seeing Clear and Rachel, just excuse me and let me be, you know, and Lisa as well. I will be literally on a higher realm. So, but do come and say hello. If you're loving what we're doing, hit that subscribe button, tell your friend, leave us a lovely 5-star review, and follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. You can email our hearts, rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB, and you can follow him at RolandStoner69. No, stop, you can follow it. Him at...
at LoveLimmy.
Until next time, we are down for whatever, and don't forget it. Bye! Bye.